Hey guys, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast like I'm doing here? I used to have a radio show on the internet and I absolutely loved it. The downside was I had to pay to be the host. I had to pay a lot of money. I loved my show and I still had lots more to say. I just didn't want to pay so much to have conversations with you. That's when I found Anchor. I am so excited because Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, distributing, and monetizing my own podcast. Instead of me paying out a lot of money, I have the potential to get paid for using my voice and talking about what is important to me and hearing your stories. I love connecting with all of you, and Anchor has given my voice to you. So if you're ready to start your own podcast, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast. Thanks for joining the Gay with God community. Hello, Bodhi Seekers, and welcome back to Awakened Hearts. This is Midge Noble, and we are going to talk tonight about my own Awakened Heart journey. And it's not something that has actually been completed. I don't think we're ever done, and I think that we're always evolving, and I like it that way. I love the fact that I can always continue to move forward and make something new happen in my life and find a new way to do things. So it's always a day-by-day thing for most of us. So I want to remind you that at Awakened Hearts, I believe that everyone is on earth to serve a sacred contract. I believe that we are all created to be compassionate, loving, and kind to ourselves and to all living souls. I believe that we can awaken our hearts and heal old wounds. I believe that we all have the power to transform our pain into our most authentic, spiritual, compassionate, and best selves. I believe we deserve to feel empowered to speak up and set boundaries and be valued by those we love and respected by those we meet along our path. As I said during the premiere show, that we probably all didn't grow up that way and we didn't all feel that throughout our whole lifetime as a child. So I wanted to give you a little insight into where I've come from. I mentioned before that, you know, there has been pain along the way. And I think that that's not just for me. It's for every person. If we really have some clarity and we look back at the struggles that we had growing up and getting older, we had to make mistakes. We had to be frustrated and hurt and go through things, because that's how we all go through that fire to mold ourselves into the person that we were created to be and need to be. So the story goes that when I was but a wee little embryo, it was a surprise. I was not a planned being in this world. I was a surprise, which threw a lot of panic into I'm sure my parents' lives. They were caught off guard, and I was going to be coming right behind my sister, 13 months apart, and that was a lot to take in. And I do appreciate my mom's ability to hang in there with a pregnancy that was a surprise and deliver me to term. I'm very proud of the fact that even though it probably was very stressful for her, that I wasn't dropped off at any kind of convenience store. You know, she kept me, so that was kind of nice too. So, but it was a struggle for her, and I do respect that journey that she must have gone through. But as a child growing up, I felt different. I knew that even though this was my family and that we were all there together, I never really quite fit, in my opinion. I'm only looking from my heart and my opinion, and I'm sure that my family may feel differently about that. But I didn't always get the sense of humor that other people got. I have a great sense of humor, I think, and I love to laugh and I love to have fun. But I felt differently about things. I didn't really ever have the same kind of opinions that everybody else had. I tried to fit in. I tried on different things that would make me feel like I was part of what I wanted to be a part of, or to feel like I was included. But I was just never one of those kids that would fit in to a specific group, which was, looking back, very indicative of how I am today, that I'm not in a clique. I'm not in a specific group. I'm pretty open. I love being around different people. I like new experiences. And I'm just way different. If there wasn't a birth certificate with my name on it, sometimes I joke about that I would have been adopted. I don't think like the rest of my family, and I don't do the same things my family all enjoy all the time. Now, my mother and I do love to sing, and we are somewhat musical. And so that's kind of a niche. My dad was a teacher, and I did feel like I was going to be a teacher. And I think I am a teacher, not in a traditional classroom, but I am a teacher of sorts, because I try to uplift and inspire others to find a way to feel better and to fulfill the dreams that they want to feel. So there have been many times over my life that I just wondered, you know, who I am. How did I get this way? Why do I feel so different? I can remember time after time after time going down to the altar. I was raised in the church. My grandfather was a minister. My uncle retired after 53 years of service in the ministry and still preaches and fills in pulpits, very gifted speaker. I always felt like I had something to feel bad about, or something that wasn't right with me, or something that I needed to fix. And that came, I think, from knowing that I really didn't fit in. I was an overweight kid. I had my heart on my sleeve. I just never felt like I was good enough. I was always trying to fix something that was probably needing to be fixed, in my opinion. I was not popular. I was really open and had lots of people that would talk to me, but I was not a cheerleader. I was not a basketball player. I tried the basketball thing. My father was an excellent basketball player, and I tried to be just like him, probably more to kind of try to fit in with him. And I'm a great defender. You can't get past me, but I sure can't shoot that ball and get it in the basket very often. It's just not my thing. I love it. I love sports, and I am more athletic than anybody thought I was. But I was always never the popular kid, or we weren't rich. We didn't go places. So, you know, that was kind of hard to find my place when I couldn't really expand and figure out where I fit in. But, you know, with all of that, I definitely had a heart wide open. Even then, I was always looking to how to serve and how to be helpful, how to make people feel better. And I was always seeking, not just to self-improve, but I was seeking something that I knew I had lost, and I needed to find it. And who knew back then that I was seeking me? I was not ever connected to who I was. And it wasn't until I did go to college, and I did branch out a little bit from my small hometown, and was able to go to a place where there were lots of new ideas and lots of different opinions. And that was kind of cool, because I got to see a whole nother side of life and how to solve problems and how to even communicate with each other. So college was one awakening that I had, where I was able to go and kind of branch out. That's when I found out that, you know, oh, this overweight kid can be athletic. And so I got to be on the soccer team, and I was the goalie for the 4 years that I was at my college. It was Berkshire Christian College. I had felt led to go into the mission field. I didn't follow that. Once I got to college, I'd gone to India to build that church. And I realized that the calling definitely was not for me. And so I still went to college, and pursued a career in education, similar to my father. And so I got my teaching degree and I was still kind of searching. I still was just kind of listening to other people and having them guide me as to what I needed to do with my life instead of being empowered to make a choice that felt good in my gut and to really listen to that fire in my soul as to what my next step should be. I was either trying to be a people pleaser or I was just letting someone else take control of my life. And so I did get my teaching degree. I got a BA in theology and a K-12 teaching degree up in Massachusetts. And I really thought that's what I was going to do until I graduated from college and they laid off half the teachers in Massachusetts that year. Ooh, that's a little nod in the head, isn't it? You know, they always say that spirit will speak to us. And at first it's a whisper. And if you don't get that, it might be a tap on the shoulder. And if you don't get that, it might be a pop in the back of the head. And if you don't get that, then you might wind up, you know, in dire straits because the answer has to come and you are going to hear it. So that's why I love to get quiet and kind of try to listen so that I don't have to go through the whole extreme of trying to figure out what's being told to me. But so that was a big knot right there is, hey, I don't think you're going to be a teacher full time. And I did stay in Massachusetts. I was kind of trying to wait it out. But as it turned out, I did find my way back to North Carolina by some pretty amazing little twists and turns. I was promised that there was jobs back in North Carolina and all I had to do is come apply. And I did go home and nope, there were no jobs in North Carolina. I did apply and nothing came out. So for the next year, I spent my time substitute teaching in many different counties. So I was pretty much teaching every day somewhere. I tutored a kid after my day job as a substitute teacher. And then I worked at Pizza Hut in the evenings and directed my grandfather's choir on the weekend at his church. So after doing all that for a year, I decided that, you know, something needed to change. But the other awakening that kind of led me on the next part of that journey was that I was doing a pregnancy leave for a teacher in a second grade classroom. And there was this little boy in the classroom that never walked. He never walked anywhere. He was always running. We were always calling him down and trying to get him to slow down. And he had hair that I don't think ever had a brush go through it. It was just all over the place. And he was just wild as a buck. And one day I was standing at my classroom door welcoming the kids into the classroom and I saw him get dropped off and come into the double doors and he walked down the hall. And I said, good morning. And he just kept walking past me and went down to his seat and put his head down and just sat there. And I thought, oh my gosh, he must be dying. So I called him out in the hall and he came out to the hall and I asked the assistant to start the reading groups. And I sat down with him and I said, so what's wrong today? And he said, his head hurt. And I said, well, what do you mean your head hurts? What's wrong with it? And he goes, well, I hit that bump on my head when I got out of the car. And now my head hurts a lot worse than it did before. I said, what bump is that? And he goes, from the game that my dad played with me. And I thought, uh-oh. I just knew in my gut that this was going in a really bad direction. And I said, what game is that? And he says, you know that game where you stand with your legs apart and your dad throws the knife in between your legs and you got to be really still so you don't get cut? And in that moment, I felt like my heart had stopped and I just looked at him and I said, oh, so did you get cut? And he goes, no, just the handle hit the top of my head and it hurt really, really bad. And so I checked his head and sure enough, there was a pretty good lump there. And I said, so does your dad play this game a lot? And he goes, only when he's drinking. And in that moment, I didn't care about the reading groups. I didn't care about the math lesson. I didn't care about anything other than this little kid and what in the world am I going to do to help him be safe? And of course, then I got the school counselor involved and the principal got involved and they took it from there. And I'm assuming I never heard the outcome, but I know that he wasn't in my class the next day. And I'm not sure what happened. but because I was the substitute, and even though I was there for 2 months, you know, there were some things I wasn't allowed to be a part of, I guess. And so I knew that day that teaching full time was not for me going to be the path, and that I needed to be positioned in a place to be able to make a change. And that led me back to graduate school and or to graduate school and to pursue a counseling degree. I didn't know at the time what was going to happen next. I just knew that I needed to get there, and I needed to try to be part of the change for kids that really needed to have some help. But that's where, even though I thought I was going there to help others, I found that I got helped myself. And the first person that I probably met in my first experience there at graduate school was an amazing woman who just, you could just feel the energy from her, and you could feel that she was way deeper than anybody I had ever met. And over my lifetime, because I was always trying to figure out who I was through other people, when people would ask me a question like, "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm fine." "Hey, we're going to go do this. Do you want to come with me?" "That's fine." And I just always would use the word fine. Like, I always gave up my feelings about something. Like, it might've been a place that I don't like to eat, but I would say it was fine, and I would just go along. I would make it seem like it was fine, even if it wasn't, because one, I didn't have a sense of self at that time. And two, I was always about pleasing everybody else. Everybody else needed to be okay. And my needs were always less. And it wasn't like a martyrdom thing. I was just invisible to myself. And I didn't even realize how lost I was until I met this woman. And she would ask me a question, and I'd say, "That's fine." And she goes, "Is there something you would rather do?" And I'm like, "No, that's fine." And she heard that enough that, and we were working at the same graduate assistantship in the counselor department. And so, we spent a lot of time when outside of class at work. And then sometimes we had classes together, but she must have heard me say fine a bazillion times. And then she started calling me out on it, and she would make me make a choice. And I had such a panic about making a choice because I didn't want to pick the wrong thing. Now, mind you, I'm in graduate school to be a counselor. And I had to have my own awakening, so to speak, and figure out who I was. So, you know, the word fine has been interpreted to mean feelings inside not expressed, which is amazingly truthful, I believe. I've heard other words used in those letters, but feelings inside not expressed is the one I'm going with. And it's really, really true, because I had feelings, but I would not express them. I kept them inside, and I would always just say, "That's fine." And she continued to challenge me, and she continued to say it wasn't okay for me to just always, you know, hide behind that word. So it's something that I really had to learn, because it was so entrenched in me to give up my power that it was hard for me to claim it back. The reason that I am so passionate about this show and the other work that I do as far as my coaching and also speaking is to empower people to be able to see where they're not giving themselves enough credit, where they're not giving themselves enough love. And when we disappear, when we let anything hold us back from being our most authentic and true self, we are doing such a disservice to other people, not only to ourselves, but to other people, because they're not getting the true gift of who we are. When we hold ourselves back so that other people can shine, then we are somehow putting some darkness out into the world. And I'm not saying we always have to be the me, you know, ego booster. Of course, we don't want to be that. But we also can't keep our light hidden to the point where no one knows who we are or what we stand for And the gifts that we were given are supposed to see the light of day. We are supposed to be able to put our gifts out into the world because that's how other people grow. So as we balance, you know, watching other people's lights and letting us grow from their light, we also have a sacred contract, really, to put our light out into the world. So even though I wasn't sure about it and I was highly uncomfortable to claim my power, my soul was definitely starting to churn. And there was a burning, a little light that had been ignited and lit during the years that I was at graduate school. And we continued to be so connected. And I was so surprised that our connection was instantaneous. I mean, we met and it clicked, and we were just connected. It was like this deep soul connection. And there were lots of indications along my whole lifetime that I was different. You know, I never wanted to date in high school. I never felt connected to anybody. I had some people that I hung out with and I liked, but there was never anybody that I really clicked with. And even though I did have some dates, I knew that it was so superficial and it never could get anywhere other than a superficial connection for me. It wasn't until I met this woman in graduate school where I really began to figure out, and it took a long time, guys. I mean, it was way past graduate school. We remained friends all the way. We're still, you know, extremely close. But the point is that I could not figure out what the missing piece was for years. And when I'd put all of these things in the way, you know, in college, I became anorexic. I was always having depression kind of symptoms coming and going. I would shut down and not be able to complete something that I needed to do. I really, really struggled. And it wasn't until I was able to claim for myself that I was gay. I had no clue why all those things were coming into my life. So that awakening that happened started with being able to claim my power in a simple way of saying, you know, I'm not fine with that, or I would prefer this. This is how I feel about that. But I'm telling you, people, it took me years to be able to put those feelings back inside of me and claim them. And it took years for me to be able to verbalize that and to be able to claim some power. I mean, I had feelings and they would pop out. I'm not saying that. I mean, I would get angry about things, but when it came right down to being able to feel it inside and be in control of it and being able to express it in a way that was powerful instead of either aggressive or passive, it really has been a journey of awakening for me. So, you know, all of that fear and doubt and rejection that comes with coming out surfaced right away. I had no idea how this was going to go. I kind of figured how it was going to go. So, and I had to figure out how to come out in a safe way for me. Cause I knew I had a lot to lose. There wasn't going to be this big, hug fest when I came out, and it was not a hug fest when I came out. And so there were some rejections early on, and there was some pain involved in that. And there had to be a lot of growth on both sides. But you know, that's just the way things are. You're not going to be able to convince people of your worthiness. You have to convince yourself. And that's the big piece. I mean, we cannot affect change for anybody else until we walk our own path. So, yeah, there was and always will be, I think, concerns when we're stepping out and we're doing something that goes against the family grain, or it goes against our friend's grain, or, you know, we all have this part of us that really struggles to be authentic and speak up and be who we are. But if we don't, then, and we hide that authenticity, we will get sick, either physically sick, emotionally sick, and we will not be able to totally love ourselves, which puts us in a state of lack. And then that really affects whether or not we're able to help others. As I was coming into my awakening, I have always realized that I was different, and I had no idea that that was the missing piece. If you had asked me, and my mom did ask me early on, she would ask me if I was gay in high school. I'm like, no. You know, clearly she figured that if I wasn't dating and I wasn't, you know, acting like all the other girls, there was something different about me. But I had no clue, people. I had no clue. When I started coming out to some, like my sister and my brother, they already knew. And they couldn't believe that I had never told them, because they'd already known before I had even come out to myself. I was so far entrenched in the shutdown mode and the fear of what that would be. You know, in church, we were taught that, of course, homosexuals are going to hell and that it was really, really bad. And I could not get to the place where I could admit it to myself for the longest time. And I even told a therapist one time that I had gone to try to take that journey and figure out if I was gay. And I told her straight up in the first meeting, you know, if I'm going to go to hell anyway, then I'm probably going to be suicidal, but you can't commit me because I'm not suicidal, 'cause I don't know if I'm gay. She was like, dang. She said, I hate working with therapists because they always know what to say. Because I there's no way I was committable. It was so painful because I thought that that was going to be the answer for me, that if I was gay, I was going to go to hell. I don't believe that now. Although there are days that I have the old tapes that have been played in my head from other people pop up. And it's just a chance for me to revalidate myself that, you know, I am okay. You know, I do believe that the world vibrates on a very low frequency sometimes, and we only vibrate at the frequency of what we've been taught instead of what we can think. And I don't want to be just someone that swallows information. I want to digest information and see if it fits me. And I believe that that's what we've all been given the task of doing, is to live the life that fits us, to live kindly, to live in a love and compassionate way, but it has to fit us. So even though I've gone through not as much as some people, but enough for me, we all have our own pain that we've lived through, and it's all a lesson and an opportunity. So coming on the other side of some of that pain, I know these things: that I am okay. I am lovable. I am safe to explore who I am. I am a light for others to follow. I am worthy. I am striving to be more enlightened every day. I am who I am and am okay with that. There are some days that I am better than I was the day before, and there are some days that I am less better than I was the day before. But perfection is not the answer. Evolution is. Awakening is. There is nothing on this earth that will ever be perfect. So we are all on this journey of empowering ourselves to be as open as we can possibly be and find a way to always continue to be better than we were the minute before. And that's not like a mouse, you know, running in a treadmill, just, you know, chasing itself. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about being mindful about how can we continue to waken up more and more every single day, because that's how we're going to put the light out there. And if we are able to do that, if we can find love for ourselves and find our voice and find our empowerment, then that's how we're going to change the world. Voting is important, and standing up for what we believe is important. But first, you got to know who you are so you know what to stand for and what's important to you. And once we do that, that's when we find the niche of where we're supposed to be and the path we're supposed to go. I am so excited to be taking this journey for myself and with you, because I want us all to be that kind of tribe where we can empower and encourage each other, and that we can speak our mind and feel really good about ourselves. So one of the things I want to tell you guys before we close tonight is that if you get the Anchor mobile app, you can message me as you're hearing these episodes, and then I'll be able to report back to you and talk back to you. So there is an app. It's called Anchor Mobile App. And if you want to download that, then you'll be able to add messages and talk back to me. And that would be awesome. Also, we'll continue to find a way that we might be able to have other people come in on the show. And that'll be fun too. So if you want to be more awakened, if you are striving and you keep feeling stuck or you feel like you can't get past a part of what you're doing, I want you to tune in tomorrow night. This is Tuesday. Tomorrow night will be Tuesday, October 16th. On Facebook Live, on my Facebook page at 7:30, I'm going to go a little bit deeper into the things that we've talked about tonight, that, the feelings that get shut down and how to open ourselves up. And there are going to be ways for you to be able to start the journey in small steps. It's a free webinar, a Facebook Live tomorrow, August. That's not right. Tomorrow, October 16th at 7:30 on my Facebook page, Facebook Live. Okay. So I hope you can tune in for that. That would be great. And then from there, I'll give you some ideas as to how you can go even deeper than that. So the webinar is going to kind of be an overview of something bigger that's coming later in the month. So I want you guys to remember that you are who you are. And the journey of finding that person and being able to give it to the world is our gift. So thank you for tuning again to Awakened Hearts. Go out there and seek love for yourself and then gift that to others. Have a good night, everybody.